Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're digging, telling local stories around here and bringing on old friends and new friends. We're calling them Wise Conversations, all of it brought to you by our friends at Wise Markets. Of course, I'm getting out doing my crab cake tour. We're making stops, new and old. We'll be beginning at Fadley's this week, as well as our friends at Costas, where I had crabs last week with Stan Jablonski. It's really weird, man. I haven't had a crab cake. I had a Fadley's crab cake maybe about 6-7 weeks ago. And that was the last crab cake I had. So that was like, I think it was maybe March that I had my last crab cake. I could look it up. But I'm not having any crab cakes until I'm having a Fadley's crab cake and a Costas crab cake. I had the crab imperial at Costas last week, and I had crabs, crab imperial, and I had oysters Rockefeller. Oh my God, the spinach at Costas is so good. So I'm avoiding it because I'm going to be having a crab cake every week for the rest of my life. And except maybe when I'm on vacation in some weird place like North Carolina or Florida where you wouldn't trust it. Brian Eater's been my friend since 1980, whatever. Man, I'm having all local dudes on, man. I had Tim on from Wise Markets. He grew up in Gray Manor. A couple weeks ago, I had John Allen on. I had Johnny O on too, Baltimore County Executive Johnny O from Eastwood. So when you're from Eastwood, you brag about it. And Johnny Allen, of course, with the Stone Horses, getting the band back out from Eastwood. This guy's from Berkshire. We don't talk about Joby Palczynski around here two decades later too much because of the tragedies and whatnot. But Berkshire's where I played Little League. This guy is a I would say a bar veteran, but that would make you sound like you're drunk, Bri. You're a bar running veteran. It's always good to have you on. You catching any fish, man? Are you going to take me out on your boat in the White Marlin Open here for the beginning of the Crab Cake Odyssey?
If you'd like to go, I'm sure that I could get you a day as a ride along. That would be great.
Real?
Yeah, that's real. I can talk to the captain and absolutely.
Well, look, man, you're famous for catching fish, right? Like you got a bar. I want to promote your place because, I mean, I don't just talk about coming in your place. I actually come in your place. I eat your food. You've actually said, get my crab cake. And I said, I'm not having your crab cake. Not now, not yet. And because I'm waiting on the crab cake thing. But like right. You and I are old school on this, right? And you and I'm about to start having you on and I'm going to talk about your place. And you've always dreamed of having your own place. You've always run other places. But I mean, dude, you and I have more mutual friends that are like old school that we've known since we were 10 or 11 years old. And then through life, whether you're managing places downtown where thousands of people go or whether you're managing river places that my wife is standing upside down on a paddleboard with Jesse Benson doing Flo-Yo. And now you've settled literally on a corner, two blocks from where I took my music lessons as a kid, where I bought my first jet airliner, Capitol Records, a Stevie Miller band, where my parents dragged me to Hausner's and I went to Matthews and everything I ever did was in Highland Town. I would say it's a homecoming for you at the Chaucer, Bri.
It was. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to fall into the opportunity that I had. I was running another establishment in Canton, and the owner of the Chaucer recruited me to come and become his partner. It was odd because I bought in 3 days before the pandemic shut everything down.
Good timing. Great. You thought you were buying in for St. Patrick's Day, right?
Yeah, I did. And then everything shut down. And I thought, man, I've just pledged my life savings to a place and we may never get back open. And we were lucky enough to use the time to renovate. And we opened back up and we have been doing as well as can be hoped for during the pandemic. You know, we're doing more business than my partner had ever done. And we didn't think that was possible, which is great.
How is that? I mean, like, I don't even know where to begin with you. Baseball cards and Berkshire and, you know, downtown and all the places you've managed. But all these years in, you've been doing this as long as I've been doing radio, right? Legitimately, right? Like, when did you start? Did you ever, like, work at Bohem? I mean, how far back did you work?
I started bartending at Roto's in Fells Point.
Oh, my God, dude. That's where I had my first ever beer. Do you know that?
So I did not know that, but I started bartending at Roto's in 1996-ish, and I was there for 3 years. Then I went to the Bay Cafe for 16.
So you were at Bay Cafe. That's how, like, okay.
Yeah. Yep. And that was the greater part. And that's where I really cut my teeth and started to manage, you know, and got into realizing that that was going to be my life's calling. You know, at Roto's, it was just, hey, I'm going to do this and work my way through college. And then once I finished with my
degree, I was drinking in Roto's when I was like, maybe 18, definitely not 20, 19 maybe. So yeah, like, I was born in 86. I can tell you, cause Whitney Houston, how will I know?
Yeah.
So, you know, those were the kind of songs that were playing in there. And, you know, Aretha Franklin singing Pink Cadillac or whatever. It was like 1986, 87. So, I mean, Roto's, like, every time I walk by, I say to my wife, I'm like, it's a place. They're in the surf club. Do you remember the surf club?
Yeah, I do. And so it's crazy because I went, same, just like you, I was going in there with a fake ID that was one of the Greek guys. And, you know, when the bouncers looked at the card and saw it was, you know, one of the
– I had Eddie Wadowski's fake ID, and we didn't even look alike.
And neither did we. But they saw it was – and it must have been, you know, hey, this Greek guy knows this guy well enough to give him his ID. Go ahead in. So it turned from me being a patron there to them needing a bartender and seeing something in me personality-wise. And they taught me – the guys who own Roto's taught me how to bartend. And then it snowballed from there. And so then it was Bay Cafe. I worked for the Cordish Company for a few years. Then I ran Lee's Pint and Shell.
Well, Bud and Goose had a, you know, like, you know, legendary deal at Bay Cafe. I mean, I DJ'd a few Jamaican Me Crazy parties back in the day. I can't begin to think that anything like that exists anymore, right? Like, I mean, it was a Super Bowl every Sunday at Bay Cafe.
Yeah, listen, you know, the amount of people that I met through there, the amount of money that I was able to make in the 90s and early 2000s, you know, when I tell the bartenders the amount of volume that we were doing, the amount of, you know, drinks that we served in a weekend, they look at me like I'm lying, but that place, it was Secrets in Baltimore, you know, for lack of a better.
Well, it's comparison. Like telling people about Hammer Jacks back in the day too, right? Mm-hmm. Like you'd have to see. Secrets is something that if you've never been and you try to tell some guy in Kansas City who owns a bar about Secrets, they'd be like, what? You know, like maybe you'd seen that in Panama City or something, right? Like the Spinnaker, La Vila, then like those kind of like massive places that Ocean City is born in, that kind of place. But Bay Cafe was kind of the inspiration for that, right?
I know that Bud and Leighton Moore, you know, were friendly and they had the Ocean Club down there first. And then, you know, it kind of turned into Secrets. And yeah, I mean, it is a one of a kind bar. I mean, you know, the fact that they are distilling their own liquor now is a testament. They don't even buy Bacardi. It's, you know, it's Secrets rum and it's Secrets vodka. And, you know, so he has revolutionized the business there in Ocean City. I mean, you know, kudos to him because.
Well, I mean, for a guy like you, that would be like me looking at what Joe Rogan's built in a podcast or what Howard Stern has done and said, or what Oprah has done, or, you know, and say, hey, I, you know, I'd love for Baltimore Positive to grow into something that would be generational, right? We all look to do that. You've worked for some big places and now you have your own place. I mean, look, man, you and I can talk sports. We're at the Oriole game the other night. We can go through all that. But I really want to talk pandemic with you because a lot of this did happen with you opening, you and I talking, and then you closed down, and then you're trying to open up. And then I came in, and you're like, get the crab cake. And I'm like, hold on. I got an idea here. And I didn't know about the view in your – I mean, the second floor view at the Chaucer. I didn't know how to pronounce Chaucer, Chaucer. I didn't you know, whatever.
A lot of people get it wrong. And it is – you know, and it's odd because I bought into the place. So I had the offer on the table. And before I decided to invest my money, I was like, you know, I'm going to secret shop it. I'm going to go in and check and see what the place is all about before I'm willing to go out on a limb. And when I saw the view, I thought to myself, how can this place not be doing well? Because it is honestly one of the best views in the city. I mean, there's no two ways about it. And it was just lacking service. The food was really good. The chef was good. They just had someone there running it who did not have a vision, and the staff was kind of on their own. And service is the part of the business that I'm best at.
Well, Brian, honestly, like I think in the modern era, everyone has watched restaurant possible or fix, you know, fix a restaurant, or we're going to come, you know, Robert Irvine went to my friend Chad down at, you know, at Al Seafood. Everyone's familiar, I think, you know, if you've never watched one of those shows, you should, but that all of my life, the chicken salad came out, the crab cake came out. You know, I never really worked in a restaurant, right? A lot of people that work in a restaurant, you'd have that experience, but running a restaurant's different than working at a restaurant. But what it takes to be successful in that industry, it's just, I have incredible admiration for anyone that tackles it, right? Because it is, it's a labor of love. And, you know, I had fun in my day throwing parties over on Kane Street. I'm sure you're familiar, and thought, well, maybe one day I'll put my Led Zeppelin autographs on the wall and run a bar. And then there's the reality of actually doing it. And especially this far down the line for you, it's really a labor of love, and you want to build something awesome, right? Because you've been a part of awesome things.
Sure. And I do. And that, and I still lean on, you know, those people who mentored me. I still talk to Bud Craven and Goose, you know, pretty regularly, once a week.
Tell Bud to bring the damn barge back so I can go get wet in the summer.
Yeah. And you know, because there, even in today's age, you know, with the digital age and how things change so quickly, a lot of those things that they taught me still hold true. And you know, it, the big thing is, and you know, you're a sports guy and I'm a sports guy. I am like a general manager of a sports team. And my thing is to put people in a position to succeed. I've got some great servers, some great bartenders, and I need to know how to place certain people together and know that you and this person work well together and you and person B don't work well together.
Like a pitcher and catcher. Battery.
Sure, correct. Like yeah. And so knowing people's strengths and weaknesses is big in this business, and being able to put people in the position where they can succeed is important. I had a girl who was a bartender and she wasn't particularly good at multitasking. So I have made her a server now instead, because she likes to really interact with her guests. And sometimes when you're bartending, you don't have time to do that. So she's 10 times the server that she was a bartender. I didn't have to let her go. I just put her in a position where she's doing the best for herself and for me at the same time. And those are just the things that you have to kind of learn. You know, personality is more important in the service industry than being technically able to make a mojito well. You know, if you can count, I can teach you to be a good bartender, but I can't teach you to be a good person. I can't teach you to be interesting and engaging with your guests. And to me, that's the most important part, because people come out to interact with the people that are serving them or the other people.
Especially now. Yeah. Especially. And you know, it's funny that commercial, you know, your server doesn't want to know your name or whatever. And I think that's kind of interesting. I think maybe that's wrong now. I think maybe, especially when I've been looking at your server with a friggin' mask on and I can't see how pretty your smile is, you know, right? I only see her eyes or his eyes or, you know, whatever. I mean, when we come out of this, shit's going to change, man. I mean, like a lot of stuff's going to change, you know?
I agree with you 100%. And, you know, you can buy a 6-pack of beer for what I'm charging for a beer at the restaurant. So if you're going to come in and we're going to ignore you, then you might as well just stay home and get 6 beers for the price of one. You know, our business now is about 95% credit card. And I tell my staff, the bartenders especially, that's the perfect opportunity to, when they hand you the card to run it, if you don't know somebody's name, when they hand it back, hey, Nestor, thank you. I appreciate you coming in. Their name's right there. You don't even need to remember it because the card is in your hand.
So when this falls apart for me and I got to wait tables like an actor in New York, I'm going to come and have you train me. How about that?
Okay, done.
I mean, seriously, man, right? Because we've all seen it done right. We've all seen it done wrong, right?
Sure. And it drives it, you know, everybody has their niche, and this was my niche. And when I see go to a restaurant and see people not doing that and taking their guests for granted, which especially during the pandemic, you can't do, but you never should be able to, you know, you should never take the people who are putting money into your bank account for granted. And, it drives me crazy when that happens. So, you know, that's was part of my job every day, is to make my staff better in that regard, teach them how to interact with their guests. Because I want, when you come in now, I want you to ask for Jules. Hey, you know what? Jules waited on me last time. She was a big enough deal that I'm coming back again to see her. I'm a 51-year-old guy. I shouldn't be the biggest draw that my restaurant has. I've got, you know, these young people who are single and they're engaging and they're interacting with these people. And I do love to go touch my tables and say hi to everybody that I can that comes in, but they should be coming in to see the servers and the bartenders more and me less.
Brian Eater's here. He is from the Chaucer. You know, I've actually the cup I have from the Chaucer is benefiting the Allman Cancer Fund for young adults. And I've done some stuff for Allman before. And you were doing a benefit at various points, you know, inviting me down and different stuff. But we actually know each other from the neighborhood and collecting baseball cards and playing Little League a billion years ago. And I talk about going to Highland Town all the time. And, you know, G&A has been a sponsor and Andy and, you know, whether it's Chicken Rico or Matthews or the Patterson or the Strand or, you know, Hones or, you know, any of these Epstein places that are gone, you know, Glava's, you know, all these different places. The Surf Club was in Islet Dad. I mentioned that. And Goldenberg's, if you're old school. When I say you're in Highland Town, from a Dundalk guy, Canton used to be a dirty word. When we were kids, Canton was rough. Like, you shopped in Highland Town, but you didn't walk to Canton in 1977. And then Canton became, you know, the place that Looney's and Scunny and everybody goes down. And we all went down there and got drunk at the turn of the century. And it turned into a destination, homes, you know, renovations, water, Ed Hale, all that happens. And then my friend Dave Shinen lives in Butcher's Hill. Butcher's Hill was really rough in the 80s. I mean, bad things happened in there. Not, I used to drive through there on the way to work. And I mean, I've lived in the city my whole life, right? And north side of the park, south side of the park, east side of the park, Highland Town, Hispanic, of which I am. I tell my wife all the time, I walk through Highland Town and everybody's Hispanic. And I say, you have no idea. In 1975, I was the only Hispanic person anybody had ever seen. No one spoke Spanish. My father had to drive to D.C. to get a plantain. Literally. Would come back with plantains from Washington. He had a market. There were no markets in Baltimore. It's amazing how much the city has changed. And when I say Highland Town now, somebody may say, Highland Town, everybody went out of business. Highland Town, that's the place I shopped. Highland Town, oh, that's the ethnic place where there's a billion different kinds of food you can have. And then you would say, Highland Town. And I would say to people, Highland. It's high up, and the Chaucer has a place where you look out on the second floor. I never was anywhere high in Highland Town. I didn't do drugs back in the 80s, but I didn't realize Highland Town meant like Brewer's Hill High, where there's a view. I don't know what Highland Town is anymore, but 10 years ago, you would have said, we're in Upper Canton. Right. I don't think Highland Town's a dirty word, and I think Highland Town's really coming back, because when I go through there, your place isn't the only place I want to stop and try some food, man. Like, it's becoming a really cool place, I think, Highland Town.
I agree. And that gentrification, the regentrification, is moving from Canton to what Highland Town proper was.
I want to make Highland Town famous again. Like, I'm going to brag about it. You advertising with me gives me a chance to scream Highland Town, where the Frank Zappa stay, like where all my childhood memories were, where it's still a great place to go. Like, honestly, you know,
and to me, the great thing about that for us is, you know, at the Chaucer, it gives us the opportunity to be the Loonies. You know, Loonies to me was the standard of Canton when that started. And then, you know, Mamas, Nacho Mamas and Mamas on the Half Shell and Clotta all came into the picture after kind of Loonies was the, you know, the one that really started it. And to me, that's the opportunity that we at the Chaucer have now. You know, we're the first cool bar in Highland Town and in Upper Canton, whatever you want to call it. And to me, there's enough space in that neighborhood and enough young people living there and enough walk-up traffic that there can be as many cool bars there as there are down on the square. And it'll also give us the opportunity to, you know, the more nice, cool places there are in Highland Town, the more people from the county are going to say, hey, you know what? There are four or five cool bars there. If we're the only one, people may not come from the county. But if there are more than one, they're going to say, hey, let's go do a little bar tour and, you know, do what you guys do and park at one and walk to four other, then walk back or Uber home from there. So I, you know, I'm in at the ground floor of it happening, and it's pretty exciting for me.
You're not the only young person investing. You know, like, I saw somebody getting a chicken thing from the Snake Hill place around the corner. I haven't been there yet, but I mean, Matthews, I kind of like, everybody should want to be a block or two from Matthews, right? Like, sure. I mean, and then the Patterson and the Arts. We talk about people coming back and doing things, that your place is a perfect place to grab a bite. Because Matthews, not everybody can eat there. They only got 10 tables, right? Like, right. You know, right. Like there's going to – this. It's coming back, man. The end, yeah. And I think people want to come out and feel it again. And people that are doing it well – and I know we all hate that pivot word. But people right. that have moved in this, that when people want to come back out, I think their standards are going to be higher. Yep. And I think it's – like to your point, food, service – Is there a good crowd? Is it, you know, is it a place I feel like I want to be? And the thing that pisses me off, and I'll, you and I can go all day on this, and I'll wrap at this and I'll send everybody out. You and I are going to do a crab cake. You're going to be a recurring guest here. And you know this, I live here. It's on the market. We just put it on the market Monday. Hopefully it sold last night. No, come buy it. They said it's $1 million view. I'm like, half price. I walk everywhere in this city with my wife. We walk from right here around, I'm always backwards, around here and that way. And we walked 10 miles last week when we came in and saw you. The yeah. night we saw you, that was the long walk. The short walk was only to the pagoda. And you know what I mean? Like we walk 3, 4, 5 miles a night regularly when it's above 65 degrees here. It's how I stay skinny and can eat your French fries and your tots. Right. And we're very, very heartened. And I know there's a murder yesterday, and God forbid there'll be another one tomorrow. I get it. And we're working on all that. But as a citizen here that walks the city and does things, we're very, very heartened. We love our walks through the city. We love walking down Bank over to Eastern to Allisan, you know, up Thames, around the corner, you know, through Canton, down side streets we've never been, up Hudson. We're going to that pho place. I keep coming to your place and eating the food and we get full. I'm going to support that pho place that everybody loves down around yep. the corner from you, because yeah. there are places popping up that I got to experience. I haven't been there yet, but I'm going to go. I mean, I've done a piece on Verde last year. Ed doing a great job over there. Napolitano pizza. There are amazing places in your neighborhood.
Yeah. And I feel like once enough people get vaccinated, that the pandemic is more in the rear view than in the windshield. There's going to be a renaissance for restaurants because people want to be back out. And I think that you're going to see a lot of people that were stuck in the house for the last year are going to be going out a lot more because, you know, they want to be social. And, you know, as human beings, we're social animals to begin with. And that was taken away from us for the greater part of a year. So I feel like a lot of restaurants the ones that survived the pandemic, I hope, are going to thrive now that the pandemic is kind of, you know, slowing up.
Well, look, man, when we have the crab cake at your place, hopefully I think I want to do it in the fall. Just like I'll come in. I'll be doing other stuff in the summer, but I'm moving around. I want to save your crab cake for the fall when we can bring some really cool people over, because I want to feature Highland 10 and do it the right way. I don't want it to get lost in June or whatever. Like, I want to feature it and do it up because it is such a part of my childhood. Maybe invite some old friends back too, tell some old neighborhood stories, but more the things that are going on in your neighborhood, the Patterson thing, the Patterson Park thing, things that happen, festivals that happen in that area always, you know. And somewhere I keep telling my wife about all the Polish people over there. We got to figure out who to trust the pierogi from. You know, we got to yeah. bring an old school Polish pierogi back at some point.
Yeah. And maybe the Polish festival, you know, that would be a good spot to get one, because I know that they're going to have to be authentic there.
Legitimate, man. I want them to yell at me and give me Polish beer as they do it, just like they did down on Broadway. Brian Eater's been my friend from Berkshire a long, long time. Tell me the Chaucer story and why people are going to come in and what they're going to get when they come in there. The crab cake, I know you already told me that. I'm going to get that. But I've had the ahi tuna. I've had tots and different stuff. But your menu changes a lot.
We do. My executive chef's name is Francisco Lopez. He's been with the restaurant for 3 years. And he's very talented. I'm lucky, because if the food had been bad, but the service was good, that would have been harder for me to fix. I give him a lot of leeway with the menu. I don't really dictate to him what he does. I let him be creative, because he's a creative guy. And
you're a food eater, not a food maker. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct. That's absolutely correct. And so we do 3 to 5 specials every week. We will run them for a week or two. And then if they wind up being something that I think is really good, we want put it on the menu full time. We rotate the menu constantly. We do 12 draft beers on tap. That is a rotating draft concept. We only carry two full time, and the rest, it's going to be a different beer every time you come in, other than the two that we have all the time. We are open from 4 until close Monday through Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We open at 10. We do a bottomless brunch on Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 3, which includes mimosas, crushes, Bloody Marys, and sangria, which is our busiest time. We've got about 40 tables inside and another 10 outside. And I personally think that it's one of the greatest views in the city, and the food is great on top of it. My staff is wonderful. I couldn't do it without them. I have a great staff. They stuck with me through the pandemic, and I've done my best to try and make them whole and take care of them. You know, I didn't take a salary for a good part of the pandemic and gave it to them so that they could survive, and they are repaying that in loyalty. And there's a lot to be said for that.
Well, it's a big summer ahead. You know, I think everybody realizes if we all show up, do the right thing, get the shot. Yeah. I'm second shot now. So I'm skating toward, you know, maybe a couple days in the Outer Banks next month with my wife. So, you know, we're working on it, building the company better. But I tell you what, man, we're going to get in, get to know your folks. Our friends at the Chaucer, one of our new sponsors here at WNST. And of course, the Baltimore Positive tells you, dude, I can't believe I had you on a half an hour and I didn't let you tell a fish story.
Yeah, I know. That's okay. We'll do that next time. We'll save it for next time.
I didn't know that there was like a guest pass thing. Now, like, I am going to go out on a boat one of these days. If Michael Jordan offers me a chance to go out, you wouldn't mind going on his boat instead of yours?
Not at all. Not a bit. He fished next to us in both tournaments last year.
Dude, you kicked his ass last year.
It was great.
You dunked on his ass.
Yeah. That, you know, I told people as a joke, if I ever bought a boat for myself, I was going to call it Jordan's lunch money.
Because MJ's money lunch money. Yeah. Brian Eater joins us. He's from the Chaucer. They have great food, a great view. They're in Highland Town, and I say that proudly, or you can call it Upper Canton if it makes you feel better. Make sure you go find them. And we'll be sharing all sorts of stuff, including food and beer and drink and view, and probably a few Sunday afternoons with Bottomless something or other. You can find me anywhere crab cakes are served. We're going to start at Fadley's and Acostas this week, East Side. Eater's had a couple of Acostas crab cakes, right? You swallowed a few of those in your day, yeah?
I have. It's a quality crab. Listen, everything they do, they put out a quality product. It's a great place.
Man, I had big ass crabs over there on Sunday with Stan Jablonski. Orioles didn't pull it out. So, you know, you were good luck on Monday, right?
I was good luck last first game in 4 years last night, and it was a great game.
Gimme an O. Luke's going to be at the ballpark covering all things through the weekend. Of course, the Orioles in New York. We got Bob Baffert issues and Preakness issues and crab cake tours. I am Nestor. We are WNST.net, AM 1570. Telling fish tales and meeting you at the Chaucer in Highland Town and talking Baltimore Positive.